David, thank you for leading that great hymn of faith. And it certainly is a wonderful hymn of faith. The fact that our God is one in whom we believe and one in whom we trust, Proverbs 3 and verse 6. And we love him so much and we honor him. I'm going to ask this morning if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Would you please stand? In John 3 and verse 16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting." Christ said, "I came not into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And you may be seated. I want to ask you this morning, how strong is your faith? That song suggests that sometimes our faith has a tendency to shrink. Is your faith this morning on the brink of shrink or even extinct? You know, instead of our faith growing, and the Bible says that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and that we are to have a strong faith. We're to add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, love. And he says, if these things be in you and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, upon which our faith is built, by the way, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we love God. Many of you have been Christians from your youth up, as Paul would commend Timothy. And I'm thankful and grateful for all of you that are of great faith and many that are now serving God even in their older age. And that's a great and wonderful thing. I heard about an old man one time who actually took some pills that the doctor had prescribed for him that would help him rest more at night. And it would actually increase his feeling of vigor and vitality. And the doctor said, "I want you to take one of these one a day." But the old man, believe it or not, took the whole bottle one night. And the next morning, the family had great difficulty waking him up. And at last he rolled over and rubbed his eyes. And he said, "All right, all right." He grumbled, "And when you're here tonight, I'm going to tell you what he said." Is your faith on the brink of extinct? The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, a lot of people in today's world walk by not faith, but they walk by sight. And they always say, "Well, I just can't see my way clear." Do you know God doesn't want us to see a clear way? Our way is always going to be clouded. For if it were not, then we would be walking by sight. But we have to walk by faith. And if we're going to honor God, it is a thing that we must do. Walk by faith and not by sight. When I think of that song, actually entitled, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe," I'm reminded of the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 and following. It says, "Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered unto saints, and even do now as we speak. Unto saints." And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, if you and I make it to heaven, it will be based upon our faith. It will not be based upon works of merit, that we feel like that God owes us heaven because we have lived a faithful life. We should be living a faithful life according to Ephesians 2. For the Bible says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We know that we're saved by the grace of God, as we mentioned in our Bible class here in the auditorium this morning. We are saved by grace, for Paul in the book of Ephesians 2 and verse 8 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And heaven is a wonderful gift. It is a wonderful reward for a life that is well lived. Listen to this verse on the song again. "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe." You know, we're going to face great problems and trials in our life, but it's our faith that will see us through. Jesus said, "In this life you will have tribulation, but be not overcome by tribulation." Hebrews 10:39 says, "But we are not of those who shrink back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." You see, faith is not just something you muster at the very beginning and you don't really grow in your faith. The disciples came to Jesus one time and they said, "Lord, increase our faith." They knew that they needed a strong faith. And I'm telling you, when you look at our world today, it's hard for me to conceive that people would say, "Hey, I don't need a strong faith." I believe we all need strong faith to get us through the difficulties of this life. And that's exactly what he is saying here in Hebrews 10 and verse 39. We cannot shrink back. We have a lot of people that started the walk with Christ by faith, as we say, that we are to walk by faith, and then they quit somewhere in the middle of the journey. And when they reached the grave, they had lost their faith. Their faith had been on the brink for a long time, and now it is extinct. It is gone. It is over. If the Bible teaches anything, it is that we must have faith. Faith in God. And Jesus, in the 8th chapter of the book of John, in verse 24, said, "Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come." We must exercise great faith in God. And don't shrink back. Sometimes people have a tendency when things are going well to feel they don't need God. And so they shrink back and they're on the brink of losing their salvation. For it would be better for a man not to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. But sometimes it is problems that we encounter in life, either illness or financial collapse or perhaps a marriage breakup or problems with our children. I mean, it could be any number of things. And we allow those things to cause our faith to shrink. But faith takes God without any ifs. I hear people say sometimes, "Oh, I'd serve God if I would serve God and honor him with all of my life if I knew that God..." You know what? Real Christianity has no ifs. There is no built-in contingency upon which God must deal with you and me. And I would tell you this morning, you may be facing a mountain, but don't let the mountain keep you in the valley. I believed, and I've said it all of my life, that God wants us on the mountain, on top of the mountain, not down in the valley. You remember David said in Psalms 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," God wants us to walk through the valley. It could be a valley of death. It could be a valley of the shadow of death. It could be a valley of illness. It could be a valley, perhaps, of a number of things. But as David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley," we must do the same. "Though I am surrounded by troubles," David said, "you will protect me from the anger of my enemies, and you will reach out your hand, and the power of your right hand will save me, for the Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me." Psalms 138, verse 7 and 8. So that is the reassurance that we all need. We keep our faith because God is there for us. He is with us. And we must, too, walk through that valley of the shadow of death. You know, sometimes we have disappointments in life and we find ourselves in the throes of depression. And we have to remember that God doesn't want us to live in disappointment valley. Sometimes people go through this life licking their wounds and, oh, if things had just been different, or if it were just a little bit different than what it was, and I could really believe in God and trust God and I could overcome my disappointment. That's not the attitude of the Christian. What we have to do when we are faced with a mountain, we have to make the mountain move out of the way. And by the way, Jesus said, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed into the sea, it will do just that. The mountain will be gone. But we must develop a mountain-moving faith. Let me ask you this morning, how strong is your faith? How strong is the faith that you have in God? It should be strong. For Jesus, 17th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 20. And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, you have no faith, you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, and you shall say to this mountain, remove thence to yonder, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible unto you. You know, through my years of preaching the gospel, I have seen and witnessed people that had great faith in God. I'm telling you, they stayed close to God regardless of what happened to them in their life. They knew where their anchor was, as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. You know, Jesus, in his time, actually alluded to a mustard seed faith. At that particular time, it was the smallest seed known to man. It was the mustard seed. But Jesus talked about those who had not a mustard seed faith, but one that had a gigantic faith and who leaned and trusted upon God. We must have an evolving faith. You know what an evolving faith is? It means that it's growing. Evolving means that it is moving higher and higher and higher. And that's what God wants us to do. But sometimes our faith remains kind of like the child they hold back and keeping them in kindergarten for years. Sometimes people's faith has not grown beyond kindergarten faith. At some point in our life, we must face formidable problems which loom before us, actually as fearsome and impossible mountains. You may be facing what you consider this morning to be an impossible mountain. You may say, well, there's no way God can deal with this. There's just no way the Lord is going to help me through this crisis. You know, Job, even in the Old Testament, made the statement. He said, this is my plight. And this is my problem, and I must bear it. I understand that there are times when we have to bear our own burden, as the book of Galatians 6, verse 1 and following teaches. But at the same time, we must realize that with great faith in God, we can move mountains. There are things that we can move out of our way that keep us from being all that God intended for us to be. Accepting our unfortunate situation, we despair and become impotent in our Christian life. Sometimes people say, well, people look at other people and say, well, he's a self-made man. No, there are no self-made men in our world. But it is because of a great and wonderful God that leads us where we need to be and takes us where we want to go. You will be impotent in faith all your life until you start trusting in God. Now, there's some things that I think you need to consider this morning if your faith is on the brink or if it is extinct. First of all, we should ask ourselves the question about the problem, regardless of how magnanimous it may be. It is this question: is it really a mountain? You know, sometimes people call a mountain by different names. And in reality, some make a mountain out of a molehill. It may be some little problem, but you have magnified it, and you have made it much bigger. It may just be a little anthill over here, but we have made a big mountain out of it. You may find yourself trapped this morning where you are, but you don't have to be, because God is ready to free you from your prison, whatever it is in life. You know, many of the prisons in which we are locked is those of our own choosing. Instead of realizing that with God's help, he came to set us free. That's what Jesus said when he went back to his hometown and delivered the word of God. He said, I have come to set the captive free. Listen to him in John 8 and verse 32. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Isn't that what we all want in life? Is freedom. And Christ came to give us that freedom. But to move mountains, if you determine it is a mountain, not a molehill, to move those mountains, you will need certain things. Because some things are impossible with man. There must be a plan. There must be preparation. And there must be practice. It's not enough for us to say we're a people of faith. And you know what? I think this congregation is a wonderful example of people that have great faith in God. But it must be more than just a faith that is spoken of. It must be a faith in action. It must be a faith that is demonstrated by the lives of every one of you. And I ask you this morning, if preparation really is important, are you prepared to meet the challenges of this day? Sometimes people look at the church and they say, well, I'd go to the church. It's full of hypocrites. Or I'd go to the church. You know what? You don't go here. This is a hospital, by the way, in a barracks. You don't go there looking for healthy people. You go there and you will find wounded people. You will find hurting people. You will find people without a limb, an arm, a leg. You don't go there looking for people that are perfect. And if that is the case, you don't come to this church building looking for perfect people, because there are none. I think I told you the story one time about the preacher that was preaching on the subject, actually, of perfection. And he said, there is nobody in this audience this morning who is perfect in any way. And he said, if you think you're perfect, just stand up right now. And about that time, there was a little old man, looked like he was about 90 years old, who stood up. And the preacher looked at him and said, sir, he says, do you absolutely believe that you are perfect? And he said, no, sir. He said, I was standing up in defense of my wife's first husband. You know, in life, we all like to think that we are perfect and that we have no issues going on in our life. But I'm telling you, we all have imperfections. We all have imperfections. And you won't find perfect people here. There are two things that you need to learn. Number one, don't expect God to answer your call if you are unfaithful. You know, I have been with people through the years who have lost loved ones in death, faithful and unfaithful. And I have come to believe that sometimes the people that are not really faithful to God are the ones who want to demand more of God and of the church. They believe the church ought to come to their rescue. They haven't helped the church. They haven't given to the church. They haven't taught people about the church. They don't teach in Bible class. They don't do anything in the world but just show up and sit on a pew. Folks, that's not the kind of faith that God is talking about. Secondly, it's very hard to believe for big things if you haven't learned to trust Him for the little things in life. You know, for some reason or another, we get the feeling that we provide for ourselves. No, it's God who provides for you. It's the same God that provides for me. He is the one who helps us through our struggles. He is the one who is a benevolent God. He is one who will help us get over the mountain. But secondly, use your mountain-moving abilities. Let me ask you a question. Do you all have mountain-moving abilities? You do. God says you do. I saw that slide. I thought it was good. My friend George Foreman died yesterday. Many of you may have seen that. George Foreman actually was the oldest heavyweight boxer in the world at one time. George Foreman and I were born in the same town, Marshall, Texas, at the same hospital by the same doctor. Amazing, isn't it? But the fight I'm talking about this morning is not the welterweight or the heavyweight. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith. And the Bible in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 1, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Consider that. You don't have to see your way clear. Listen, I'm like the old black brother, friend of mine, who one time was preaching a sermon. He said, "If God told me to jump through that brick wall," he said, "I would jump and allow God to make the hole." That's the kind of faith that we must have. A faith that is forwarding. Forwarding all issues to heaven. Sometimes we think there are certain things that we can handle by ourselves, that we really don't need God. And so I'm not going to pray about this. Kind of like the little boy one time, you know, they had invited the preacher over for lunch, and they were sitting there together, and the little boy started digging right in. You know, and the preacher said, "Son, aren't we going to have a blessing for the food?" And he said, "No, sir." He said, my mother's a good cook." You know, sometimes people think you don't need God. You do need God. You need Him in every situation in your life. Sometimes people say, "Well, life's not fair." You know what? You're right. God never did teach that life had to be fair. Did you realize that? For some reason or other, we think that people ought to be fair with Christians. It don't work that way. It doesn't. Some have to fight harder than others. God didn't say life was going to be fair for you, nor would it be fair for me. Caleb, however, said in Joshua 14:12, when he faced the mountain, he said, "Give me this mountain." He didn't ask for the valley. But he asked for the mountain, folks. He asked for the mountain. Caleb was courageous. He was willing to go against the flow. Some Christians are not. Some people, when they face temptation or trials or resistance, that's it. Caleb was willing to go against the fences that the world had put around his life. He was willing to go against the forces of evil in his world. And in spite of his age, this man is nearing 100 years of age. Think about it. In spite of his adversaries, in spite of the attitudes of others, he could say, "Give me this mountain." And that is the attitude I believe that every Christian should have in life. You see, faith is a bridge between where I am and where I want to be. I have not reached the point in my life where I feel like I have all the faith that I need. No, I still grow every day. And we must all be growing in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. You know why that's so important? Because the Bible in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible," what? "To please God." Now, that's pretty profound, isn't it? Faith is not an achievement. It is not a thing at which you arrive and you say, "Well, I made it. I got all the faith in the world now that I need." I like to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 because in that particular text, the Bible speaks of so many people in that great Heroes Hall of Fame. Their fame, however, was their faith. Moses, Noah, Rahab. I mean, you could go on to name all of them. What a tremendous example of what faith is. It is not an achievement, but it is a lifestyle, folks. You keep running when you feel you have no run left in you. You don't let the mountains keep you down in the valley. You keep moving. And it's like I've told you many times about that old Celebrex commercial. You remember it? A body in motion stays in motion. It's true physically. That's why you shouldn't just sit down and rest on your laurels. You just keep on running. You keep on running. You keep on going. And the church is the body. And the thing that makes this body so strong is the fact that we are a body in motion. Thirdly, prayer is one of the greatest mountain-moving abilities that you have. Because we can all pray unto our God. Prayer is a necessity in mountain-moving. For in Luke, the 18th chapter and verse 3, Christ said that men ought always pray and faint not. That is, don't give up. You just keep on praying. And you keep on praying until you pray through. And if life gets too hard to stand, kneel and communicate to our God. It is a great mountain moving tool. Fight all your battles, someone said, on your knees. Sometimes we never pray unless we just have some kind of issue going on. You know what? We ought to begin every day with a prayer. And pray that God is going to get us through that day and get us over the mountain, over the hump. And many of our mountains are mental. They're up here. You may not really be facing a mountain. You may have made a mountain out of that little molehill. But you move even mental mountains by depending upon our God. The greatest of all mistakes is to do nothing because you think you can only do a little. That's a big mistake. That's a very big mistake. In Luke 22:32, Jesus told Peter, don't let your faith fail. Don't let it happen. But sometimes we do we not? When you can't put your prayer into words, God hears your heart. You know, some of the toughest things in the world to do involve prayer. You know, sometimes we don't really know how to pray. Sometimes when we pray, maybe we're praying amiss, like James says, the way we shouldn't be praying. But we should be praying within the will of God, for Jesus says, when we pray in His will, He heareth us. And God listens to our heart. We may not verbalize it, but it is a prayer that we have on our heart and in our soul. But Romans 8 and 28 clarifies it in this way. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We offer prayers in Jesus' name, and we verbalize those prayers. Sometimes we sing our prayers. The very song we sang a few moments ago was really a prayer to God. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, oh God, that's what I want. But sometimes those prayers cannot be uttered. Prayer is the most important conversation you have every morning when you get out of your bed. It is. In Luke 21 and verse 36, Jesus says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Always praying. In Luke 18 and verse 3, he said, men ought always pray and not give up. Don't give up. Philippians 4 and 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. We have to start praying and exercising faith in God. If you start praying and saying, God, I know you're not going to hear my prayer anyway, but here it is. You think anybody's going to receive anything with God? James says, don't be double-minded. And let not that man who is double-minded think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Not going to happen. He goes on to say in James 4 and 2, you have not because you ask not. That's one of the reasons we don't have what we have. But fourthly, your faith will result in mountain-moving results. And I'm telling you truthfully this morning, folks, you want to move the mountains in your life? Upload them? Get rid of them? Exercise your faith. But you know what? Some of us have what we call a roller coaster faith. Oh, it's sailing along there for a while, and then it starts going downhill, and then it goes uphill, and we don't know exactly what to do. You quit believing in God, and your faith is on the brink of extinct. Don't give up on your faith. And if you have a mountain in your life, get some mustard seed faith. That's what Christ said, wasn't it? He said, you want to move the mountain? He said, even the grain of mustard seed will move mountains. Many times we see the problem go away. You know why? Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? There is no force that's greater than our God who is in heaven. He is there with us. He's going to see us through. Don't give up on Him. That's why Paul, when he reached the apex of his journey and the climactical point in his life, when he had come to the end of the way, he said, I have fought the good fight and I have kept the faith. And whether intermediate or delayed, sometimes God doesn't remove the mountain right then for reasons we may not know. But the mountain will be cast down, I assure you. And we must have a vision of what we can do with God's help. Think about your own life, what you could do with the help of God. And we can keep on running, folks. You can keep on doing what God has asked you to do. For the book of Ephesians 3 and 20 says it all, that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to His power that works within us. Now think about that, folks. Digest that a little bit. You couldn't think of a mountain that God can't move. You will never in this world face a mountain that is unmovable. Not with the help of God. Because our God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the Bible in the book of James 5:16 says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. I would suggest if you're facing a mountain this morning, solicit the prayers of the body of Christ. Get the whole church praying for you. And you go home and get on your knees before God and humble yourself and start praying to the God you claim to know. And when we see God honor our faith by removing mountains, we become fearless in our Christian life. We will literally believe God for anything. Believe God. Don't let anyone's ignorance, their hate, their drama, their negativity stop you from becoming the best person that you can possibly be. Our testimony to others is no longer timid or unsure. And Paul said it best in Philippians 4 and 13, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And then you will be able to say with Caleb, give me this mountain. Don't take it away, Lord. Give it to me. I'll soar over the mountain. I'll become what you want me to be. And then you can go back to God in prayer and say, Lord God, we made it together. We did make it. We made it. You can listen. You can conquer your mountain with God's help. Several years ago, there was a lady one day who looked out her window, said that she was really awakened by a strange sound. Didn't know what it was. It was kind of a pecking. And she went to the living room and saw out the window that there was a bird, a sparrow, that was pecking on that window. And there was a butterfly inside. And the bird just kept on pecking because he didn't understand that there was something between the butterfly and the bird that was protecting the butterfly. You know, sometimes we forget to see that God is between the world and us, in that He is protecting us. He is watching over us. Sometimes we forget that. But God will see us through. And He says, don't you focus on the past. You focus on the future. Press forward, He said, to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Maybe today you're not a Christian, and maybe you're lacking in a lot of ways the things that God wants to give you. Seriously. But because of your lack of faith, you have not because you ask not. Why not turn your life over to Christ? Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and be baptized for the remission of your sin. Acts 2 and verse 38. When they were wanting to know what to do, they developed a faith, a little faith, that caused them to ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Maybe some of you, because your faith has been on the brink, or maybe it's extinct. You may be listening to my sermon via YouTube or Facebook, and I hope you are this morning. And I hope that you'll take note of what we've been saying here this morning. And we're happy to respond to your requests, whatever they are. But if there is a breach between your faith and God, God didn't cause that to happen. He didn't. And just as Hezekiah of the old, in Isaiah 37 and verse 14, the Bible says that he went into the house of God and he spread it all before God. Maybe there's some things you need to spread before God this morning. Maybe there's some sins you need to spread before your Maker. Maybe there's an acknowledgement that needs to be made about your sinful life or things that you've done. Do you have the courage to ask God this morning and ask the church to pray for you? To repair the breach? Sometimes it's hard for us to do that. Sometimes it's hard for us to walk into the church house and acknowledge that we have sinned or that we have erred and that our faith has been on the brink. And what faith we did have is so small and so little, it hasn't grown. This morning, David has selected a song of invitation. It's something that we traditionally do at the end of a worship service to give people an opportunity to acknowledge the inward desire of that individual, either to become a Christian by being baptized or by acknowledging your need for greater faith while we stand and while we sing.